I see in the papers today a story involving Woolworths, Coles and Aldi. And as often is the case when you see stories in the paper about them, it's not always a good news story. But look, I'm not going to stick the boot into them per se straight away. This is the case. They are embroiled in a child labour scandal, not because of the people who work here in their checkouts, but all three supermarket chains have confirmed that they sell prawns or seafood that is supplied by a Thai company that's at the centre of allegations of child labour. Now, evidence of forced labour, including child labour, has been uncovered at a prawn peeling factory owned by a major seafood supplier called Thai Union. An investigation has found hundreds of workers at the company's factories working under poor conditions, some workers reportedly locked inside the factory. Children worked under the threat of violence. Now, as the Herald reports today, all three of Australia's major supermarket retailers are conducting investigations now into their supply chain. And in a prepared statement, Thai Union's president described the report as a wake-up call for the company. Well, I suppose it is. But I want to look at this more broadly. Here's one example. But, you know, here we are. It's Christmas time. We're all doing Christmas shopping. It's getting closer and we're all thinking about Christmas lunch. And we're all out there in the high street shopping. And we wander around. We can't believe our luck. There's a shirt for $4 and there's a pair of sneakers for $10.50. You know, it's never been so good. Cars have never been cheaper. White goods. But there's a reason for it. It's not just because our numbers have come in. It's because someone somewhere else in the world, thanks to globalisation, is making the product and it's coming to Australia more easily than it ever did. But it's the person at the end of the line making the product that's often being squeezed. And I want to look at this more broadly. Mark Zernsack is a social justice spokesman from the Uniting Church. He joins me on the phone to look at this. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on the program.
Now, let's look at this story first about the prawns. You know, we see these stories. I don't think it shocks people anymore, which is probably says something. But this notion of exploited labour, child labour, whatever, is quite prevalent in other parts of the world, isn't it, Mark?
Look, yes, in some industries. But I've got to say, in actual fact, on child labour, there's been enormous progress at reducing the number of children globally who are in these sort of worst forms of child labour. And the Thai seafood industry has actually improved in the last few years. They've been under enormous pressure. It probably hasn't had as much coverage here in Australia as elsewhere in the world. Mm. But they have been under huge pressure and there has been a lot of cleaning up. So while the report that's come out today is deeply shocking and says there's still further to go, I think listeners should probably be aware that there has been a lot of progress made, and a lot of that's been because of public pressure, or the fear of public pressure from retailers and from the companies involved. They know the kind of scandal that when this kind of story breaks, the damage it does to them and to confidence.
You talk about public pressure, Mark. It does work both ways, though, doesn't it? Because the public pressure the major retailers and the shops out there to get prices as low as possible, it's called competition. But in a globalised world, I suppose that pressure can feed its way right down to the bottom of the food chain, that is, those making the goods, not just obviously peeling prawns, but those in the clothing industry and all sorts of industries.
Oh, look, absolutely. And I think that as consumers, the saying that if a deal looks too good to be true, it probably is,
that's it.
Does actually apply. And normally, you know, with really cheap goods, you probably can count on there's been criminal activity somewhere in that supply chain. And normally that's involved people getting ripped off, particularly at the bottom, those with the least power in the production of those goods. And that's normally, as you've said earlier, the workers at the end of the line get ripped off. So I think consumers need to, you know, while you might shop around and look for a deal, I think you need to be very aware of the risks of getting something that looks too good to be true. You've probably benefited from some very serious criminal activity somewhere along the line.
Okay, how much of a magnifying glass or expectation should we have on the big supply of the big retailers like Woolworths, Coles, and Aldi? I mean, should they be aware of these sort of things in their supply chain? Do they have, for example, personnel that go abroad and scout for potential abuses like this?
Look, they do actually have. We've worked with them for a number of years now, and they do actually take these issues very seriously. The Thai seafood, we've worked with them for a number of years, and they've certainly sent people up to Bangkok. They've been involved in talking to the Thai industry, you know, so by companies, their own suppliers. They've been involved in work with the International Labour Organization, which is a peak international body that looks after workers' rights. So they've been doing quite a bit in this space.
Mm-hmm.
But you're never going to... It's going to be very difficult to always make sure that things are completely clear. And Thailand is a difficult space, particularly because the Thai government actually forbids people who have come in from foreign countries are not permitted to form trade unions. So they can only join Thai trade unions, and some of the factories make sure there are no Thai workers, Thai unions in that factory. Yeah. So it's very hard then for people to defend their own rights.
Yeah, let me put this to you, Mark, in that... For example, a couple of years ago, maybe it was just last year, time I lose track of time, but there was all this talk about these factory fires in Bangladesh, and some very well-known clothing labels were embroiled in this, shocking abuses of staff safety, not enough money being put into the facilities. Yeah, a lot of people around the place get onto social media, this sort of hacktivism, and they tweet their outrage, yet within 2 weeks they're down there at the local shop buying a $4 singlet again. I mean, there is a disconnect, isn't there, between a lot of the outrage, genuine as it is, that we in the West express when we hear these stories of neglect or abuse or standards which we wouldn't want for our own people, and then our spending habits on the other hand. I mean, we simply don't put our money where our mouth is, do we?
Look, I think that's probably true of some people. I do know other people who take this very seriously, and I think growingly that's the case. The other thing that happens, though, is within these companies, people don't like to work for a company, you know, where they think that company is engaged in very serious abuses. Now, Bangladesh is a really good one to raise, because what came out of that was there was an agreement set up called the Bangladesh Fire and Building Safety Accord, and major brands, including a number here in Australia, so people like Woolworths, like Kmart, have signed on to that. Now, that has required them to disclose which factories in Bangladesh are they sourcing from, and there's been now proper inspections of those factories to make sure they are safe structurally, so they're not going to collapse, and from a fire point of view, and there's been corrective action taken in factories in Bangladesh to make them safe. There's still issues there about the wages that people are paid in those Bangladesh factories and their inability, again, there are regular reports of people being beaten up and even murdered if they try and form trade unions, so there's a long way to go.
Mm.
But in fact, the outrage over the collapse of the building led to a very significant change. Now, what is deeply disturbing, though, is it actually took, you know, the death of over 1,100 people to get the industry to take this seriously and come up with this agreement.
Mm.
And unfortunately, there are still companies that didn't sign up to this accord that, means that the buildings and the factories they're sourcing from will be safe.
Indeed.
But there are lots of, you know, we're talking 1,500 factories in Bangladesh now that are being subjected to these inspections to make them safe. So there is progress.
There's progress
made in
these
areas. And I think we need to look at that hope, because, the last thing I'd want is listeners saying, oh, well, it's all terrible, the world's a terrible place and we can never get anything better. In fact, there's a lot of progress being made in these areas. And look, you know, as I said, there are plenty of people in these companies who want to say, well, I don't want to work for a company that's this bad. And there are people running the company who don't want to have their company known for that and actually do want to do the right thing. Mm. But I think there is this issue of mixed message, though. You know, when a big retailer says, well, I want the cheapest goods and I'm going to squeeze my suppliers for the cheapest goods, but by the way, I want you to respect the law and actually hold the highest ethical standards. Well, I think it does create at times mixed pressure for that supplier to go, well, which do you want, the cheapest goods or the highest ethical standards?
No, I think that's a very good point to raise. Well, Mark, I thank you for bringing some of that to our attention. It's important to note that, as you point out, there are very good operators out there trying to do the right thing, and let's hope the shift continues in the direction that we both hope it does. Mark Zirksak there from Uniting, thank you for that.
Thank you.
Okay, so what do you make of it? 131873. I think at the end of the day, here we are doing our Christmas shopping. We just have to bear in mind, don't we, that... as Mark said, you get what you pay for. And if it's too good to be true price-wise, well, chances are someone is paying a price for our bargains. Now, I'm not saying we scrap globalisation. That's not going to happen. I'm not one of those sort of tree-hugger types. But, we just have to bear in mind that we have seen, it has had an economic impact here as well. All the clothing factories, the shoe factories, the manufacturing entities in this country have basically shut up shop. Why? Because the companies have moved overseas and they're paying workers over there a hell of a lot less to produce exactly the same item, often with a lesser quality. But, we have, in some respects, forced that move with our wallets. We have supported the cheaper prices. We've gone after them like hungry beasts because budgets of the household are tight. But in so doing, we have, in essence, with a nod and a wink, given encouragement to this practice. Awareness is turning it around ever so slowly.